Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsiad Bondarenka.
Hey, good Saturday afternoon.
You were running a little late. I'm glad you made it in.
Yes, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Well, what we do on the Drift every Saturday is go over the news that we put on the Daily Drift. It's
the news you need to know.
See how easy that is?
Yeah.
All I got to do is look at me and we're good, right?
Well, that hand kind of like pointing at me like you're on.
That helps, right? Yes, absolutely. So, well, let's take care of a little business. And if you want to email in to gary@thedailydrift.com, you're welcome to. And we're on talkamericaradio.us tonight and tomorrow night in the evenings. And you can always find us on Spreaker and SoundCloud and YouTube. And, of course, always archived at thedailydrift.com.
Yeah. So.
Facebook. Okay, well, let's take care of a little business. Dalton Environmental Cleaning, if you are looking to get your air ducts cleaned before winter and you turn on that furnace, call Dalton's, 1-877-DALTONS. That's 877-DALTONS. And they've got a $25 off coupon in the Current newspaper, COURANTonline.com, currentonline.com. So let's make sure we do that. And let's say, well, let's bring in our special guest. I'm very excited.
I know that.
Yes. We've got Kaya Jones calling in. And Kaya, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, it worked.
I'm good. How are you?
Yes. Well, I'm so glad we've been talking with Patricia and finally get you to come on. And
yeah.
Yeah, super excited. And I want to say, number one, I want to say thank you, because I know in your business you are an entertainer, a singer, an entrepreneur. You do all these things in
busy
Hollywood and Vegas and in the music industry. And for you to put yourself out there as an openly conservative person is huge.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for that, because you know what?
Aww.
Yeah, it takes a lot to come out, and because it sometimes costs you a contract, right?
It can, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I'm going to give you a few minutes here because, you know, some of our listeners were conservative radio stations, so I'm not sure a lot of our listeners will know who you are. But
right.
Do you want to give a quick bio of yourself? Are you comfortable doing that?
Perhaps
oh,
if
God,
you changed.
I'm never comfortable with talking about oneself. No, it just feels like you're gloating. It's like, no.
No, you're not gloating, because you know what? You are an accomplished. You started out very young. At like the age of 12, you were an accomplished violinist, right?
Yes, I started violin at 4. Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
So I've been doing it a long time. All of this stuff, all this music stuff. Yeah.
Yep. And then as you got into your teens, you ended up getting picked up by R. Kelly, who's like one of the major pop stars in the world.
Yes. And no, he did not pee on me. He's a stand-up person. He's not weird at all. But I have to go ahead and say that, because he's had a lot of flack, and I've never experienced anything of the sort with him. He was a really good guy.
So. Yeah, well, that's what the leftists like to do, right? They like to tear people down. That Russian Trump dossier, it was the same thing, trying to say Donald Trump was into crazy things like that. Mm. It's just absolutely nonsense. So I'm glad you clear that up for
media,
us.
It's media, you know what I mean? It's media, and that's kind of why I think it's great that he's standing up to media, because media has, you know, definitely been manipulative. I mean, you know, look what happened with Princess Diana. I mean, where is the line end where you give people their peace? You know?
Yep.
So it's not just R. Kelly. It's not just Michael Jackson. You know, I actually still have a magazine from the week before Michael Jackson died, and I saved them because I thought it was just the most hypocrisy. I never bought the magazine again. It was the week before he died. It was Wacko Jacko.
Yes.
And the following week, the week, like, literally he died, it was, you know, in memoriam, like, he's a genius and all of this stuff. And I'm going, wow, like, 1 week ago, he would have really loved to have heard that before he died. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really matter after the fact. You guys are just not cool. And so, you know, Britney Spears has gone through it. There's so many artists that go through it that I think it's kind of nice to watch what he's doing, because we are aware of it.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that we need them to promote our material or what we're doing, we get manipulated. And so it was really nice when he started, you know, calling out mainstream media, because it was just for everyone in media that knows how manipulative it is, you know, we were happy to hear that.
Yeah, and I think we as the American public are now starting to finally realize just how twisted and distorted and destructive the mainstream media, the leftists are in doing this. I mean, I just on Twitter a moment before the show, this Jason Kessler, right, the guy who started the Unite the Right, the white supremacists, and we all know now, right, because it's come out in Gateway Pundit, that a year ago he was a Democrat. He got rid of his liberal girlfriend because she wasn't liberal enough. He's lived with people of color before, right, as roommates, and now all of a sudden he's a white supremacist ginning things up, and he's trying to make it look like he's a big Trump supporter. Well, we all know he's not, right? And this is what they do. So it's just absolutely disgusting how the media and the leftists like to just rip apart, destroy, and manipulate people.
They really do. They really, really do. I don't think people understand how much they control a lot of what they see and, you know, and everything that you watch and hear. I mean, same thing in the music industry. It's, you know, it's the same 10 songs you hear every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
You know, there's never any new songs that you don't know about or artists that you haven't heard about. And I mean, it's that's manipulation. There's no way around that.
So, Kaya, get back to telling us more about yourself and how you actually came to a conservative position.
Oh, well, you know, I started really young in the industry and always had a good moral code about me. Didn't realize I was a conservative. You know, my family wasn't involved in the industry, so it wasn't something that, like, I didn't have a momager or anything like that. I had handlers, literally, that would take care of me, and so I thought that I was just weird because I was never okay with a lot of it. I just felt that it was just very, very not safe for a young artist like myself and not cool. And when I joined the Pussycat Dolls, which I was 18 when I joined, 17 when I did the audition, you know, I thought, okay, this is great. This is going to be like a, another, you know, version of the Spice Girls. And, it definitely turned out to not be that.
Yeah. Was it, so you're saying it was a little more distorted Hollywood wise. They were kind of playing up the sex end of it more.
Yeah. I mean, it was more on the back end of it, you know, just, there were so many moving compartments, you know, at the time that, it wasn't just one thing. There were so many things, but it came down to me, like the defining moment was Divas Live in Vegas at MGM Grand Garden Arena. We were performing and I was to come through the audience with one of the other performers as well from the Pussycat Dolls. She's a singer dancer as well. She and I were coming through the audience and the rest of the girls were coming up on a ride or onto the stage. And, you know, we were performing right after we did our set. We were performing with Tom Jones and Patti LaBelle's wailing on stage and so amazing. And I just been told how, you know, how fat I was and how all of this and just horrible if you knew what was going on behind the scenes. And
wait, they said you were fat?
Oh, no. I mean, I would literally get verbal abuse every day and midnight phone calls about what I ate.
What?
Literally what I ate that day. Like, we heard you had a cheese with omelet. You know, you can't have cheese. Have you not seen your body? Like, no, you can't even write this stuff. You know what I mean? It's so ridiculous.
Oh, my. Because you are a no, there's just no way. When I look at you, I remember.
Now because I'm healthy and I'm me and I'm controlling my career, you know, I'm about 20 pounds bigger than I was at the time. I mean, I was emaciatedly thin, you know, just really training every day and working out every day and dancing every day and performing every day. You know, we were owned, so we didn't make any of that money, you know. So at the time, you know, I was told all of these horrible things under the stage and that I looked like I had pizza sewn on my butt. That was, but she used another word.
Excuse me a second. Are these your handlers telling you this? Did I miss
it? Oh, no, this is the owner of the group. The den mother from hell that we all had. And so, these two little girls in the front row, one was like 4 and the other one maybe 7 or 8. And, the little 4-year-old just looked up and said, "Oh, you're a Pussycat Doll." She was just so excited. And I just felt gutted. I just knew that then in that moment, like I couldn't do this because she wanted to be this. And if parents really knew what we were, not in front of the camera, like it's okay to be, you know, a strong, powerful girl and, you know, say that you're sexy and look sexy. And, you know, especially in that age and that time, you know, where you're a teenager going into your early 20s, that's kind of what girls want to do. You know, they want to show that they're pretty and, you know, kind of own their power. And so I wasn't, it wasn't that I wasn't okay with, even though that to a certain degree, I had my mixed emotions about it. It was more about the abuse behind the scenes.
Right.
And it was, I still have, you know, I still am working on things that were, you know, seeds that were planted, you know, into me at a very young age, that affected all of the women. I mean, and all of the girls went through their own form of abuse, but it was constant abuse. Yeah.
And that's what the media has kind of done to young ladies of today, right? They've pushed this narrative that you have to be thin and skinny and perfect all the time.
It wasn't just that, though. It was everything across the board. It was from your weight to who you dated to what you did to, never being allowed to take a day off. I had a doctor visit and I nearly got fired. Just so much control. And control to the point where you are owned and you are a slave. And, you know, you realize that and you're making a lot of people money and you have to then make a decision for yourself. Is this what you want to do? And I made that decision really pretty early on in. I was only 2.5 years into the group and we were in the middle of launching in a mega way. I'd done music with them and agreed that I would finish and complete what I needed to do for the music. And, I wasn't going to get credit on anything. I knew that at the time. And I still did it and everyone said I was crazy. But I just held to my convictions because my soul wasn't for sale and all of this.
That's the phrase that was going through my mind. The next question I was going to ask you, you can buy your soul back from the devil?
You can refuse to work for him any longer.
Yeah.
You can refuse to and take your power back in some way, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? That strikes a huge parallel for me because when I hear that kind of a story, right, and it's personal and it's you and it's that group and that corporation, but I also look at that as a micro look of what we see today in the United States because, you know what, here's the government, the leftists, trying to own and control and enslave people the same way by offering them money and entitlements.
You can't drink
you
that 32-ounce soda.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And each girl, you know, that's the thing. Each one had their thing. One was, you know, you don't have any boobs, so she had to go get a breast job. One was, your skin is too bad, and she wasn't allowed to appear in store when we were selling makeup and doing things.
That's terrible.
She was told her, yeah. When I say it was abusive, I mean just that. I don't mean that it was one and one, or a couple moments here and there. I mean, it was continuous stuff and what we were paid and, just not having any artistic integrity. And I think because I'd come from, you know, working with R. Kelly, who is so a stickler about, you know, your voice, and then working, you know, in a development deal at Capitol Records with Julian Raymond and Andy Slater, and working with real life guys, live musicians that played with everybody, and kind of building my sea legs to then jump into this very manufactured thing that was so distorted, it just felt so wrong. And so then I had to kind of go on this journey on finding who I was. And in that time, you know, making those mistakes and still not feeling fulfilled and going into EDM music, which has, you know, been my genre and my love for a long time because everything was just very happy in that dance music side of the fence. And I was able to have success in Europe and perform and all of that. But still did not feel fulfillment. And, 2 years ago, I kind of just decided that if I'm going to sing again, I'd have to do something really, really pure and raw. And then, you know, watching all of the insanity of the election and the race, and having, you know, Joy Villa, who's one of my good friends who wore the Make America Great Again dress to the Grammys, we connected on the Grammy carpet and I just thanked her and said, I'm so proud of you, whispered in her ear. And she said, you voted Trump? And I said, yeah, I voted Trump. And she was like, we don't have to hide anymore. And we literally are crying. It was hilarious if you were watching us. We're like in the sidelines of the carpet. We finished the carpet. And we're like crying, going like, we don't have to hide anymore.
That's so, right. Yeah, well,
yeah, it was emotional. And then, you know, she had no one coming out for her support. So they asked me, you know, she and Andre Soriano, who made the dress, and Andre had made my 2014 Grammy dress. We've all been friends, and none of us knew we voted for Trump. That's how serious you couldn't even discuss your emotions and what you felt or what you were going to do. And they said, can you come out? And I thought, you know, if I can't come out for my friends and myself, like I'm a hypocrite as an artist, and I put my photo of wearing my Trump shirt I'd bought from the year before. Last year when I was in Washington, D.C., I'd bought this shirt and I was never able to wear it because I literally was scared that someone was going to want to kill me. And I took a photo in it and the next day it was on Breitbart.com. And so that kind of created this journey, and then me really deciding I want to create real music and maybe leave behind a lot of the baggage of the Pussycat Dolls and definitely the EDM sound and all of that. We can always remix stuff and make that stuff fun, but to go back to my roots of being a, you know, classical violinist first, and even though I don't play anymore, that's my first house. That's my first wheelhouse with that.
Right. So, and so speaking of music, your new video, What the Heart Don't Know, I listened to it last night, finally, and a beautiful song in and of itself, right? Very, very, very nice. But when you watch the video, if it doesn't pull your heartstrings, there's something seriously wrong with you. I feel a little emotional right now because it's you as playing the wife, right? And, and as you're watching your husband pack, he's a soldier and he's packing to go off for tour duty.
Mm-hmm.
And that really struck me as hard. And then as you get through the video and all of a sudden you've got the boxed up flag, the folded flag, and you realize what happened. I'm feeling it right now, actually. Look at me, Ed. I'm a mess. See, who says I don't have feelings? I do. And it is really an incredible video. Was that your idea, or did somebody come up with that for you?
No, that was 100% me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, God bless you.
Good work.
Yeah, that is. And I'm going to tell people, if you have not seen the video, please go see the video, What the Heart Don't Know, and it's Kaya Jones, because...
And there's a link at The Drift.
I'm going to put the whole video YouTube link right on there. I'm going to do that in the morning. I was going to put it today, but I figured I'd do it after the show, so that way it's fresh.
There will be a link at The Drift.
There will be a link at The Drift. Awesome. But yes, you did a fantastic job
on that.
And all I can say is thank you, because you know what? More people in this country, especially our entertainers, because you've got 100,000 followers on Twitter alone, right? So you speak to 100,000 people every day with just one tweet. And so people need to understand that if we had more celebrities come out and show that they are conservative, it would literally help fight that brainwashing that our children get. I mean, they look to you, you know, as a role model. And so when we've got celebrities like you coming out and doing what you're doing, it really is so helpful to the culture and to the country to do that, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish that more could, because, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, even with sports right now, you know, with what's going on with Kaepernick, I mean, we definitely need more positive reinforcements with what's going on in the state of affairs with the nation. Take away your feelings on the president. It's the nation is going through, you know, this heavy division, and that didn't start with him. At all. I mean, I don't know how everyone thinks that started with him. That was brewing for a long time. And, you know, I think the only one that could have done it is a minority leader. And we had a minority leader in the House, and he refused to do it. And so, we need a lot of uniting. And it is unfortunate there's not more artists saying that they're, you know, supporting our military and our servicemen and women, our police officers. That's why for me with the video, it was my way of saying, you know, I support you guys 100%. I've gone over and done stuff in Iraq for the military during Project Iraqi Freedom in 2009. And, you know, we did like 20 shows in 10 days. We're supposed to do 24 shows in 12 days, but we got severely rocket attacked on one of the bases for a good 30 hours of just fun. And I came back home and just started doing more stuff with our military. So my grandfather's buried in Arlington, you know, so it's not only just how I feel about the military, but also my family and my friends, and I think more people need to support them.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, almost probably every family in the country probably has at least a grandfather or great-grandfather who served at some point for this country, I would hope.
Right.
Kidding? My whole family, my nieces, nephews, dads, uncles, me.
So people need to kind of just think back a little bit about what your family itself has done for the country, you know, serving in the military. And because, you know, what's that old saying? Thank a teacher if you can speak and read and write. Thank the military that we're speaking, reading, and writing in English.
Yeah,
right. Because if it weren't for these guys, we'd all be wearing jackboots and saluting a swastika, right?
People don't really understand. I don't think they do. And that's the thing is I encourage artists all the time, like, you know, to go and visit, you know, and perform for the troops in the military, or go and visit the VA hospital, or do some philanthropy work with either the military and or police officers or anything that you can to help your community. But you get a good understanding with the military and what they do when you can come to their wheelhouse, you know, and being able to go over there, you know, they can't really tell you what they do. And so because I got to go into their office, so to speak, they were so awesome in showing me what they did and such pride in showing someone what they do. And you start to understand the magnitude of, you know, something being built versus something being destroyed. And I think people really don't understand that connotation. When I came back from Iraq, you know, there was a building in front of my building that was being built. And my boyfriend at the time was complaining like he couldn't sleep, and I had slept through it. And I said, well, there's something being built, you know. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I slept through it because there's something being built. It's a very different sound than something being destroyed. And what's happening in our nation right now is a lot of destruction. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they understand real destruction.
Right.
If they did, if they understood what war is or what our military families go through, the spouses, the girlfriends, you know, the children, I think they'd have some regard if they went to Arlington and saw, you know, the 400,000 graves that are there and the 28 funerals that happen per week. They may have a better understanding of the magnitude of what's going on. And right now they, you know, they're creating a war, but they don't understand what real war is. And by the time that they do, it's too late for them to get it. They're going to have to see it in their own backyard, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's my concern, is we're getting to this place of we're going to have something really serious happen here. And I think a lot of people need to, you know, pull up some footage of 9/11 and take a good look. I was, you know, 14 or 15 when it happened, and, you know, just watching people decide whether or not they were going to jump or they were going to burn to their death is a moment for me that you cannot forget if you were, you know, old enough to remember it. And I think more people need to see that, because that was the first time we had really been hit in a very hard way in this country, and that shifted the way we felt about a lot of things. And so when people talk about it being racism and all of that, or, you know, you're a homophobe or Islamophobe or any of those things, that, you know, they were Islamic terrorists that did what they did that day, and that shifted the way we felt about hijabs and everything in that notion. It did. And so to say that it didn't affect us is just lunacy.
Yeah, I would
not
like
aware
to
of what war is and what that caused the nation to go through is crazy, because they're creating like wars over statues when there's human trafficking and there's a real war going on right now over a loudmic. The president just announced, you know, 4,000 troops being deployed and all of this, and that's serious.
Yeah, yeah, and that is the crazy thing, and I would love to see the mainstream media every 9/11 in September.
Yeah.
Replay the hour show, you know, of what happened that day, because exactly right. I too remember watching people making that decision to jump, you know, 100 stories to their death as opposed to burning to death, you know, thinking what went through your mind. And yet here we are.
A case of workplace violence.
16 years later, right?
Yeah.
And people, we have more Islamic terrorism coming to our shores. We have more people who believe in Sharia law and hate our way of life coming to this country.
Yeah.
And people like Speaker Ryan and Mitch McConnell are not following what we, the people, voted for. Stop immigration. Just stop it for a while anyways, you know?
Yeah.
So, so Kai, can you stay through the next?
I would love to stay. Can I stay?
Yes, we'd love to have you stay.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, so we'll put you on hold. We're going to go into a hard break. We're going to play your song, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Cool.
Okay, stay tuned. But the heart can't want what the heart don't know. No, the heart can't want what the heart don't know. And I feel, I'm on the outside, looking in from these places that I run and hide.
People are always
always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Harvey hovering over the southeast coast of Texas, dumping rain which could reach historic levels.
We have the severe threat ongoing through tonight for tornadic activity.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean says one forecast sees the storm
Tuesday coming back into the Gulf of Mexico and then perhaps making a second landfall around Galveston. So that's why this is almost unprecedented. Meteorologically, we haven't seen something like this.
President Trump calling for unity, thanking our troops and veterans in his weekly address.
Every person who puts on the uniform makes our nation proud.
But Democrats in their address calling the president divisive. Connecticut Congressman Jim Himes saying the president delivers nothing but paints a dark picture of the future. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by A&H Lawn Service. Now here's Theron.
How many of you know that Woodrow Wilson was not only a supporter of the Ku Klux Klan, but breathed new life into it? That Franklin Delano Roosevelt not only employed fascism in his New Deal program, but was praised by Mussolini as a brother fascist? Or that John F. Kennedy was an ardent admirer of Adolf Hitler and praised him right up to 1945? How many of you know those facts? The Democrat Party was and still is the home of fascism. The media and public schools they control flip that narrative. They paint conservatives by name-calling, call us Nazi or fascist. But the truth is they are the real totalitarian fascists in America. Democrats are the party of Leviathan, soul-crushing and controlling huge government, and the Democrats still employ the time-honored black-shirt, brown-shirt thuggery in the streets to further their cause, not to mention deny the results of an open and honest election result. Racist and fascist groups with names like Occupy, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, cropped up and were given free rein in the streets for the past 8 years. If you want to make a real difference, don't tear down statues of Democrats of the past. Tear down the Democrat Party. Resist them.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. They've been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991, including landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. They have the professional experience you can count on. Call 734-429-5778 and see how their business can help your business, or visit ahlawncare.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Nobody knows. And they say
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in the studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there.
Okay, and if you're looking for something to do tonight, I'm going to tell you where I like to go. It's Burroughs Roadhouse in West Brighton. You can take West Brighton Road out to 5311 Brighton Road and call them 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000. Burroughs has the best atmosphere ever. Ed, you agree? You've been there?
Yes.
Excellent atmosphere, great food. Wonderful entertainment most nights, and they do comedy. Will be starting up again in the fall, so it's a great place, and it's haunted upstairs. Yeah. So if you never know, you might get a little tickle from the hereafter or something.
That's funny because I was adjusting my headphones and worrying about that, and then you pointed at me while you were speaking. And I thought I was supposed to say the news you need to know.
No. So 810-227-6000. Call them up out there. Do dinner, do drinks, whatever you want to do. It's a great place to go. Burroughs Roadhouse. You can go burroughs-roadhouse.com. And joining us on the phone, we have Kaya Jones, a conservative entertainer, entrepreneur. Kaya, welcome back.
Hi, Kaya.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, so I'm glad you stayed through because I'm hoping that, you know, you've been on Hannity, right? So I know you're not shy about feelings. So I'd like you to kind of weigh in on all these current news and events going on, if you're comfortable doing that with us.
Yeah, I am.
Well,
so many.
If I might, I'd like to ask first, Kaya, you know, is there a support group for you guys? Like, do you hang out with Lieutenant Dan or...
Yes, there is. There is a...
I mean, you don't have to give them up. It's not the congressional hearings or anything.
Them, you know, some of them aren't out. I mean, when I came out with my narrative and my truth, you know, I got some calls from some pretty predominant people that I had known, and they just let me know that there's a network and not everyone's out, and, you know, to keep talking, and that I was going to have support. Blind support that I would find out through time, and I have through time found out that blind support, which is not kind of blind anymore. And we all do connect. I mean, you know, me and Joy, Andre, you know, Christy Swanson, we talk about every day. You know, Terry Fader, we talk every day through text. Every morning we send each other stuff, and, you know, Students for Trump, we send each other stuff every morning too. So it is a network. And because there's been so much, like, I've had people not want to serve me. I get death threats every day, you know, but it doesn't stop me from saying my truth because, you know, there's also the letters I get every day that, you know, totally undermine the 3 to 5 death threats I get a day. When you get, you know, 100 to 300 pieces of fan mail from, you know, I'm 12 years old, conservative, LGBT. Thank you for making me feel like I'm not alone. Or, you know, I'm 40 years old and I'm a military wife and your videos now help me, you know, especially with wives that have already lost their husbands, or certain emails will just affect you where you're just like, you have to keep talking.
Right.
It's imperative that we keep talking because the squeaky wheel gets the grease and they've been chatting this whole time. I mean, that's what they're doing and causing a lot of confusion. And you know, you brought up Paul Ryan before. I mean, his wife is a Democrat, so we know where he leans. And he, you know, to me, he's always felt like he wants the office. You know, he wants to be president.
Yep.
So that's how I have felt about him from the moment that he stepped out. He has this very, you know, authority about him, and you know, just wants the top spot. And so, it's unfortunate. You know, we really do need the GOP to get behind the president at this time. You know, otherwise he's going to reconfigure it. I mean, that's what's going to happen, and they need to understand that. Like, you know, he is the commander in chief, and so he's a chess player. He doesn't play checkers, and he figured that out with Hillary really quickly with the college electorate vote, and I think they're going to see a big shift happen if they don't start to kind of work with him. And you know, I think we have to, as Republicans, know that we won, and this is our representative, and you know, you backed him with the RNC, and you know, you got to now back him.
Yeah, that's what drives me insane, because Paul Ryan and mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell know damn well that we, the American people, voted Trump in. No ifs, ands, or buts. We voted him in. He won. We wanted his agenda. We didn't vote for Donald Trump because we liked him. We voted for Donald Trump because he was speaking the right words. And that's what we want.
Do you suspect a third party on the horizon headed by Trump? A divide?
Quite possibly. I mean, quite possibly, because I'll be honest, there's a poll that said it was 26% of liberals that were Bernie supporters voted Trump.
And that's huge.
You know, that is huge. I mean, it, you know, that would have been a very different race. I mean, the DNC stopped Bernie, and, you know, I wonder why. I mean, he would have been the first Jewish candidate. Let's be honest about things. People don't want to say what it is, but, you know, there is racism in all forms. And, you know, to be bringing up the race card in this situation with statues and things that, like, to me are just not the immediate problem. And if it wasn't the statues, it's Russia. If it's not Russia, it's, you know, tapes of him, you know, talking how long ago, like locker room conversation. If it's not that, it's, you know, he's a Nazi. If it's not that, and it's like, and it, when you look up the definition of a Nazi, people really should before they throw around that word, because it was a socialist party of, and you'd have to be German and part of that socialist party.
National Socialist Workers Party.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's crazy to hear a lot of the chatter going on. But to me, what it is diversion, because if you really pull off the Band-Aid of what's going on, you're gonna tear down major people that are accustomed to their money and their financing and their life and their kids going to a really expensive school. And, you know, he's threatening a lot of those things. And I think all of America is kind of just cheering him on with it, because we have watched people have the entire lifespan in office and their families being involved and our roads not being paved. Are you telling me you can't pave the road? You have to come out every three months or every year? I mean, is that really what's going on, when we know that there's concrete that is indestructible that they make and use for, you know, companies like the Ritz-Carlton and all of that? So there's just a lot of collusion going on the other side. And
yeah, it's that establishment.
Our side is collusion. And it's kind of like ridiculous. It's like meeting on the tarmac in the middle of the night. You know, that's colluding.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, what Trump is trying to do. And his thing was about the American people. He, even more so than the GOP, was about the American people. It was about the American people. And I think that's why he pulled, you know, there was like, he was wearing there's this giant sweater and he started pulling at the sweater. And now the American people are pulling at it. It's about to fall on the floor. And, you know, the curtain is about to come down. So they're just derailing what inevitably is going to happen. And that's why it's frustrating, is that it will come out with internet today and with access to everything. Everything that you've done in the dark is going to come to light, and you're just derailing when it happens.
Right.
You know, with all the different people from Julian Assange and all of that, it's all going to come out in the wash. So you might as well just own up to it, face the heat before it becomes something where we don't even want to hear your apology or your excuse or any of those things. And I think that's why they're causing so much confusion. They also want to be back in power, and they want to, you know, they want to throw the pendulum into the other side of the fence. But I mean, everything that this nation's been built on is being threatened at this time. And that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
To suggest that, you know, Trump is a Nazi, and to neglect that George Soros actually
worked for the Nazis.
Yeah. That's just,
Yeah.
He did. I mean, when you know, a lot of people really don't know about Soros, and, you know, last night I decided to watch him. It's funny you brought him up. When you know how he was raised and how he came to be, you'll have a good understanding of what's going on. And I mean, you know, he owns the DNC.
Yeah,
and he's unrepentant.
Yeah, because you watched the video, the Glenn Beck video, right, on Soros?
Yeah.
Is that what you watched?
Well,
okay.
That's the thing, is that money is also speech. People don't realize money is speech, and money is also power. And so, you know, he has tipped the scales, in regards to Asia, and, you know, made them go into a recession, and done things with Russia. And I mean, so it's so funny that they're bringing this Russia thing up with you know, Trump, when, you know, Soros, $2 billion to Russia, them going through their own financial problems. You know, he's used his money to tip the scales. And, all of the different 501c3s that he funds and all the different people that are actually on CNN are part of that. And so I think more Americans really need to do their digging on what they're buying, what they're supporting, because that is your speech. When you turn on the TV, even if you're not watching CNN, you're giving it ratings.
Yeah.
If you don't like CNN or that show, you can't watch CNN in a whole. If you don't like Fox, you don't like anybody in a whole, you can't just sit and say, well, it's on, but I'm not watching it. You're giving it ratings.
Yeah, when it's turned on. Yeah.
Right. And
it's
you
osmosis.
Also need to know who owns what, the conglomerates, who owns them. And you'll start to understand that it's a giant web.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is, so you brought up the Glenn Beck Soros, and I remember I was listening to Glenn Beck back in those days, and I remember hearing a show around that same time where he was supposed to have lunch with a Soros handler or somebody, and he felt threatened. And oddly enough, I'm trying to remember the dates of those shows and when Glenn was removed shortly thereafter from Fox. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking if my memory is serving right.
Oh, no, you're right.
And so that's the power that these evil people like George Soros have, that they could even affect an allegedly conservative network like Fox. And I don't think his kids are very now. And then you've been on Hannity, right? So let me ask you, is there something going on at Fox that is it seems odd to me that we're purging so many of our conservatives off Fox and I'm seeing more libs all the time.
Murdoch's kids.
They're taking everyone down that is a supporter. I mean, I've had, you know, even on my video today, we were noticing that my numbers were, you know, it's going up and going down and going up and going down. And it's like, what is going on here? Like, manipulation is happening across the board where people that are, you know, on the side that we're on the conservative side or supporting our commander in chief are literally being, you know, knocked down each day. And it's very disheartening. And it almost feels like, you know, how can we win this? But, you know, it's, you have to keep in faith and know that God is on our side. And, you know, nothing can come against you when he's for you. So,
I like hearing those words. Is there something I should know about the basis for you speaking like that?
No, well, I mean, I my faith is what's brought me to this point. I mean, you know, I think I've always, in the business I've been in and living in Hollywood for so long, I think, you know, you have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, and you kind of just have to decide if you're going to, where you're going to plant your feet on what side of the fence. And for me, it was just imperative that I made that choice for myself, this year with telling my truth and finally saying that I love Jesus and all those things and really feeling when I said it, like,
oh, you should see the smile on Ed's face, right? Because we are a very conservative station, and we've got pastors on as shows, and our owners are very, very
Christian.
And so you just lit up Ed's face like, you know, get out of here, Ed. Like, he's all blushing now. There you go.
That's kind of more or less what happened. It just, you know, it just is, we all have to keep the faith in America right now.
Yeah.
That and keep in prayer for our president because it's serious. You know, if you see this stuff that's going on each day, and you know, Dr. Gorka,
yes,
a friend, you know, him leaving and you know, texting with him last night and saying, "Is it true?" and him saying, "Yeah," you know, and you know, him saying, "You know, God is good," and I mean, he's right. It's God is good. It's like, you know, you can't. What's divine is divine, and you know, evil or dark matter trying to affect what's divine, they can't really affect, it can't be affected what's divine, but what it can do is break you down and you stop what is divine because that's your free will.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Cyrus connotation?
No, what is that?
Oh, basically, a lot has been said lately. I think a lot of people have come to the conclusion separately, and I've been reading it here and there, other people coming to it, that Cyrus was the emperor who, in Isaiah, basically, God says, "I've raised up Cyrus," and Cyrus wasn't even king yet, and he was going to save Israel. And he was a non-believing king who actually restored Jerusalem. He gave Nehemiah permission to rebuild Jerusalem and even the money to do it.
Okay.
And so there are people who think that Trump, even though he may or may not be a believer, or may have been raised up. I mean, the Bible says God sets kings in place, and that it may be God's purpose through Trump to actually free America to worship him again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wholeheartedly. I think if he didn't have his hand on him before, he has his hand on him now for sure. You know, we all saw election night. I mean, I thought and knew he was going to win from when he said he was going to run. I thought he was going to win. 2 months in, I said, okay, I'm voting for him. When Brexit happened, I knew he was going to win. I don't know how anyone else didn't, because England is one of the biggest monarchs on the planet. They own more land than anybody. They've been involved in every single war, and they've pillaged. They haven't exactly been, you know, all the time good folks. So to have them confused and shutting down and saying, we need to reassess things, the whole world should have been scared, because
that's a massive, massive monarchy. For them to be confused, there's no way that we're going to allow that to happen in America. And we didn't see signs on people's lawns this year. We didn't see stickers. It was a very different election. Everyone played mum. You knew who was voting for Trump because they didn't, you know, verbally put anything out there on social media. Everyone that was voting for Hillary blasted every day. But if you were silent, we know who you voted for because we were all silent and just
yes.
to the polls.
The yeah. silent majority.
So yeah. when I went to the polls, I didn't even put in Republican. I put in independent because I was so cognizant, like, you know, are they going to manipulate the numbers at the polls? You know, put in as an independent, maybe it'll go through for sure, because it was my first time voting for a president. And that night, you know, when you see where he was in the banquet hall and, you know, Barron being exhausted and them being kind of like, what just happened? I think even they were, because they had been told the same polls that we'd been fed. And I think they were waiting until the final witching hour, hoping that the media would have driven her to win. And, you know, $2 billion later, which all these countries and places she wants to help, you could have fed some of these countries in a hole with that money. You could have fixed the pipes in Flint. You could have helped, you know, when it came time to the flood that we had in Louisiana, and Trump went down and brought everyone fresh water because they didn't have any. I have three friends that their parents, everything was flooded.
She could have fixed Haiti, right? They could have fixed Haiti 10 years ago with that money.
Right. And instead of doing that, you know, that's what Trump was doing. He was going to every single place and doing things before he even got in. And so, you know, she really wasn't of a good character, in my opinion, to be constantly raising money at dinners. And, you know, all the celebrities are behind you. And you think because of that, you somehow have to have this entitlement. And that you're going to be back in the White House, like, you know, no, we don't, you know, what your husband did. I'm sorry, I was a kid, but I remember what he did.
Yes.
And, you know, I was 8 or 9 years old. I was a kid, but I remember what he did and what he was a part of. And that was not a good look. So when you're saying that, you know, in her book, when you hear her talking about, you know, Trump was behind me, breathing on me, and there's a great photo of, you know, Hillary and Bill at their wedding where Trump is beside her, breathing on her darn near.
Yes.
Because he used to fund them. He used to actually, he used to pay for people's campaigns, and then he decided to pay for his own. And, you know, her saying how he's just this unscrupulous man and all of these things. And I'm like, wait, Huma Abedin, your right-hand aide, her husband is, you know, sending pictures of his genitals to girls that are kids. I'm sorry.
Mr. Wiener. Yes.
Okay. And then your husband has been accused not only of, you know, the whole Monica Lewinsky situation, but, you know, rape and many other things. And her as well, you know, while she was a young attorney defending and getting off, you know,
a rapist.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I thought when she was describing Trump, she was describing Bill. I got confused, you know, this guy creeping around. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so pathetic is that Trump has not been involved in anything of that measure, and you have. You are directly connected to your husband, your aide, and you know, you yourself has defended and got off and thought it was funny, because there's actual audio of that you can listen online of her kind of cackling and thinks it's funny that she got him off and she knew he was guilty. And that's, you know, you won't meet your maker one day.
Yeah.
Good luck to you on that, you know.
Well, she's going into the priesthood, so she'll...
Well, I want to say this, too, because when you go back and watch the videos, and I remember that debate that she did this audio portion for, and she's talking about him being creepy and breathing down her. Number one, Hillary, you were on Donald's side of the stage, and I remember distinctly saying, you know, because the commentators were saying, oh, he was kind of muscling in on her. I'm like, she's on his side of the stage, invading his space.
His people on his side. So, you know, it's just, you remove, I mean, you know, it's a debate, and you know, if you're scared of him behind you, you would never be able to run this country, because you have to deal with generals, you have to deal with serious notions, you have to know things.
And Putin.
That
if she couldn't stand up to him.
Yeah. If you can't, if Donald Trump scares you, I'm sorry. I don't want you as my president, because you need to have balls of steel, because you need to set a precedent in the world where we have really bad guys.
Yeah. You know, when he was
harm what we're about, Yeah.
When he was walking behind her, I was actually thinking that his ADD was kicking in. That's how I would behave. I'd just be wandering the stage if I was getting bored.
So
but then I'm thinking he was strategizing. He was throwing her off her game.
So, Kaya, let me ask you this. You're obviously very opinionated and open and seemingly very transparent, which is something we need. And knowing, for better or worse, that today's electorate here in America, the voting public, are a little more celebrity conscious, right? And that's why when Trump said he was running, I was on board immediately because I knew he was the winning horse. I did.
Like Kid Rock, right?
And while that brings up a good point. And I reached out to Kid Rock way back in 2015 on Facebook saying, you need to get active. And I don't know if he's serious or not, but I have been the big proponent for...
He is.
Is he? So I've been asking and telling him, you got to file, stop milking it, just file and get in. He will win easily in this state if he did.
I mean, I don't think the DNC or the GOP understands. There's a lot of us that are being asked lots of things.
Yeah. So I and that's where I'm driving.
Need to get ready.
Being from the state of Nevada.
I really do.
Yeah. Being from the state of Nevada, have you thought about running either for Congress or a Senate seat or something like that in Nevada?
I've already been asked.
Good.
Everyone will know soon.
Okay. I like
you heard
to hear
it here first, folks. Good journalism, Gary.
And there you go. Because you know what?
Well,
you can.
We got to keep loose, let's sink ships. And so the thing is that that's what the Obama administration used to like to do is tell everyone what was going on. But I can say this much. There's as much as they have a coup working against us, we also have one.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is incredibly interesting. And I want to say, folks, if you are not following Kaya, it's at Kaya Jones. Follow her on Twitter. And do you have a Facebook page? I'm sure you do, but I don't know.
I do.
Go ahead.
It's Kaya's Music.
Kaya's Music on Facebook.
K-A-Y-A-S Music.
Okay.
At Facebook. /.
We're going to friend you.
Yes, we'll friend you on Facebook, and I already follow you on Twitter anyways. So, all right, so Kaya, please, I want you to have an open invitation. If you're ever in Ann Arbor, Detroit area, you are welcome to come to the show, bring your crew, whatever you need to do.
Oh, my God.
Please
come
sit with us.
We'd love to.
Yes, this has been this show is just conversational. Normally, it's just Ed and I and whatever callers call
in. We have this huge, spacious studio in here. You can fit the band. It's luxurious.
So
I want to come.
Anytime. You are always welcome every Saturday here at the station. Come on in. Just let us know, and you can sit with us and interview congressmen and everything else. So it'd be a lot of fun.
Amazing. Sounds wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, and come again. Like I said, you're always welcome.
God bless you.
I for sure will take you up on that. Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, great interview. I'm glad she stuck around.
That's the show?
That's the show. It's over.
Wow.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Right? Well, thank you to Kaya, and I want to thank Patricia and the rest of the team for Kaya for hooking that up for us.
And Derek, thanks for producing.
Okay, and Derek, thank you for producing. So we'll see you all next week, folks. Go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news
you need to know.
See you then.